Bhutan only recently opened up to tourism. People probably remember that some years ago the king opened it up and declared, he became famous because he declared that gross national happiness was a more important goal for the country than gross national product. And it's famously very expensive to go there. They strictly control tourism. But it was worth doing, as it is worth going anywhere, I think.
When you're going to somewhere like Bhutan, how do you prepare yourself?
Despite the fact that it is expensive and there's not a huge amount of tourism, mainly because the government so strictly controls it, it still is, you know, tour companies take you in there. They give you plenty of briefing in advance. Bhutan, people, it would remind people a lot of, I guess, you know, the other Buddhist countries of the southeast. It's like it's a Himalayan Thailand, if you like. You know, it's pretty well overwhelmingly Buddhist. There are other religions and ethnic minorities there, but they're pretty homogeneous. They, in fact, a few years ago, and this is something they don't tell you about much in or of the Happy Kingdom, that they actually expelled the Nepalese minority ethnic group there because we saw some of the refugee camps in northern Nepal.
And when you talk about the Happy Kingdom, was there much evidence of a happy population where the soul or one's spiritual needs for happiness are met?
Yes, well, I think so, Paul. It was famously a very poor place, a bit like, again, like Nepal, but I think it's managed transition to the modern era better than Nepal because, well, it's a much smaller population for a start. It does have that ethnic and spiritual cohesiveness, and also wise and benevolent rulers. I mean, setting aside the fact that they actually kicked out a lot of people they didn't think fitted in, the king, whom everyone still loves, by the way, but he, the son of the one who declared, you know, this famous business about happiness being the national goal, gave up the monarchy and said, from now on, we're going to be a constitutional monarchy. We're going to have free elections, which they have done. And my guides, because you're not allowed to travel around the country without local guides, they said, well, everybody found that very confusing. But the king, the king sort of urged everybody, no, look, we're going to have elections whether you want it or not. But they say everyone still loves the king. But you see, all around the place, all along the roads, there are all these exhortations to good citizenship, if you like. You know, don't drive fast, don't speed, don't do drugs, don't smoke, don't litter. And actually, they're not, I'm probably doing them an injustice there. There's not that sort of commanding, hostile tone. It's sort of, be patient. Everyone will be happier on the roads if you drive patiently. Don't smoke, it's bad for your health. Don't throw rubbish on the roads. Think what it looks like, and you think, gee, you know, that's actually very, you know, there seems to be an objective on the part of the government, with very much the urging and support of the king and the royal family, to just, you know, be sensible. It's very admirable, really, and you don't see anywhere near as much rubbish on the roads as you do in, sadly, Nepal.
So given here that we would have similar campaigns in terms of speeding, of non-smoking and so on, what do you think the difference would be in terms of why perhaps that creates a more harmonious society than here, perhaps?
Mm. Well, I think they're starting from scratch, really. And also I think it's also partly the tone of it. You don't say, fine, or you'll be fined or jailed, you know. It's just sort of all sort of like, this is what we would like you to do. And also, it's like, you see these signs about every 200 metres. I started writing them down and I gave up after a while.
So, yeah. More carrot, less stick, perhaps.
Well put, Paul. That's exactly so, yeah.
Did you get the feeling, given that you're reliant on tour guides showing you around, that there were perhaps areas that you weren't being shown that maybe didn't necessarily fit in with the idea of a happy, harmonious society?
I don't think so. Look, Bhutan, I don't think it has all that many secrets. It's not as though they've got nuclear power plants or anything like that. Their major export is apparently hydroelectricity, which they sell to India. But no, like, for instance, you have to have the guides and the drives. I had these two lovely young boys. Well, they were, actually. I'm of an age, I think, Paulie, where I can say that, who squired me around everywhere. But they'd drop me, say, in the capital, in Thimphu, they'd say, oh, we'll drop you here, and if you want to wander around the streets, the markets, we'll pick you up later on, meet, you know, we'll meet at an agreed place later on. There weren't any no-nos. There's nothing paranoid about the place.
So taking photos, for instance, wasn't necessarily a problem?
Oh, no. I was constantly exercised by that old tourist fear of if you point a camera at someone, is it being disrespectful? B, will they expect you to give them some money? But in Bhutan, the guides kept saying, no, go on, take their photo. They won't mind. Actually, I found in a lot of the subcontinental countries, there's almost a pride in, you know, having the foreigner single you out to take a photo.
A lot of people listening might be thinking, gee, that sounds like a really interesting place to visit, but I don't know how I'd cope language-wise. Was that an issue?
Not at all. Well, as I said, again, you are not allowed to go into the country on your own. There's no such thing. So, you know, forget it. If you think, like trekking through northern India or Nepal, that doesn't happen. You have to have the guide, the local guide with you. He or she will speak English. Most of them are men, but you do see, you know, it's the king, again, he's made the commitment to gender equality throughout the place, so very progressive that way. English is the second language. That's another thing they've done, you know, in the education system, an absolute commitment to widespread literacy in English as well as the native languages.